Well, right now comes time of a guy to come out on the stage with me that worked real hard when he was with me. Tried to make everything perfect, good sound with his mandolin, and today he's known as the Quartet of Bluegrass. And he works hard to get it down good where you can listen to it. And I'd like for you to make welcome right now to one of my friends and from even raised up close where I was in good old Sneedville, Tennessee. Nice hand for the great in bluegrass and what he's done for quartet music, Doyle Lawson. Would you do that? Tell you what, I've said all I can do. Now, what you got to say?
Jimmy, I'm glad to be here.
Huh?
I'm glad to be out here with you.
I'm glad you too. I'm glad you get to be here. I'm hate you'd have to stay home in bed sick or something.
Well, I healed up.
Huh?
I healed up.
Yeah, I did.
Been
too.
Taking that medicine, you know.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, it's hard to believe. Good, dog.
It's hard to believe it's been 30 years since I last worked for you, though, and I'm serious about that. I want to tell y'all real quick. Growing up in East Tennessee, my dad was from Hancock County in Sneedville, Tennessee, where Jimmy's was from. When I was 10 years old, we moved back there to a little farm, and I got bit by the bluegrass bug at an early age. My mama swears it. I was singing probably before I got in this world because I kicked up a pretty good fuss, she said. And I was trying to play mandolin, and I started trying to learn to play when I was about 11 years old and struggled for a while. And Jimmy's brother-in-law, one time I was about 14 years old, he said, "Jimmy's coming home for Christmas. Would you like to meet him?" I couldn't wait. It seemed like the 2 months I was waiting for him to come home for Christmas seemed like an eternity. I got to meet Jimmy when I was 14. He took an interest in me and saw maybe that I really wanted to learn to play. Sit down with me, he showed me how to use my wrist and a lot of stuff real in the right way. And he said, "This is the way that Bill did it. I got it from him, and I got it from you." He's a legend, Mr. Jimmy Martin. I'm glad to be out here with him.
Thank you. Thank you for those kind words. I hope I can back you up and never let you down, Doyle.
I'm sure you can do that. I like
that. And right now, it comes time to get out another guy that has slaved with me and Paul Williams. And he used to be red-headed, now he's white-headed. I know I didn't worry him that much. He got that away after he left me. I don't know what got on his mind.
Worried all over the money he's got.
When it comes down to backing up a singer or backing up a fiddle, playing background to anybody, there is nobody that can beat the guy that we can come out, and I'm not going down Earl Scruggs. You can put them both in the same barrel. And that's putting him up there pretty high. Because Earl Scruggs is the greatest and set the pace for him. But you need not ever say anything about Earl Scruggs. Earl Scruggs never made a mistake in his life to compare to this boy's ear. We heard him one morning, we was listening to Martha White show, and Earl hung up on the string. Me and Paul Williams looked, ha ha ha. He made a mistake that time. He said, "Yeah, it's better than anybody else can, though. I'll tell you that right now." Sounded good. So give a nice hand to my friend and a guy that has worked with a bass fiddle on top, traveled when we couldn't. We could probably afford it, but I was afraid to take it out of the bank. I'd go broke. Only cost about $150 to get air conditioned, but I didn't put it on, afraid I might need the money to get me to a show date or something. That's how tough it was. No air conditioning through Texas with the windows rolled down, that sound of busting your eyeballs out. Nice hand for my friend and one of the greatest banjo players that ever stood up in bluegrass music, J.D. Crow. Now, J.D., come around here and what do you got to say? Doyle made a good talk.
You guys are doing so good.
You'll just turn it back over to us.
Well, yeah, I could do that, too.
No, I'd like for you to say something, J.D.
Okay.
You can pick a banjo.
I'll
talk
say
a little
something.
Bit.
You never would give me a chance.
It's all yours, J.D. It's all yours.
No, this guy here, man, you know.
I must.
No, you haven't. No, you haven't.
Say something.
Okay. Well, you need killing. You know it. No, this.
I'll say it for you.
No, you won't. Boy, that cuts like a knife. No, this guy here, we've had a lot of fun together, and he was telling you right. We did do exactly what he said. We was out in Texas, riding in a car, no air condition. But you know, back then, I never thought about that, because all I wanted to do was play. And I knew I was with a guy that I could do that with. And I probably drove him crazy rehearsing, because I remember a lot of times I would get the banjo out, riding down the road, and at 85, 90 degrees, and I'd play for 400 or 500 miles. I mean, all the way, you know. And then we'd get to the gig, I'd play, and we may stay up all night, and I'd play some more. You know, and that's what I did, and that's how you have to learn it, you know. Thank you so much. Anyway, what are we doing? 2 days.
Are you through, J.D.?
No, but go ahead anyway.
Many times I've told the Sunny Mountain Boys he picked a banjo in Jimmy Martin's ear, riding along more than any banjo player that ever had, more than all of them put together. And you see what he's done. He's got his name on a banjo by Gibson, a J.D. Crowe's banjo. So, boys, if you want to get your name on something, give him a good hand there. That's all right. Okay.